Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is a little bit of the Old Testament lesson. We'll be looking at the gospel lesson. And the theme that I'd like to focus our attention to is this: human again. That's the title for our sermon, human again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved in the Lord, there is something that's always perplexed me about paradise. In other words, in the account that we heard in the Old Testament lesson of the Garden of Eden, I've been confused. I bet maybe you've been confused too. I bet you've had this question: why in paradise did God create the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why create a tree that you can't eat from? Why put in paradise a tree that can mess it all up? We've seen how it goes. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and now there is sin, there's strife, there's disease, there's death. Doesn't that sound like a bad idea? To put in the garden something that could ruin it all. Well, but here's the thing. You read the accounts of creation, and do you remember the refrain every time God looks at what he's created? He sees that it is good. In fact, we're told that after he created everything, he saw it, and behold, it was very good. Some of you know your Bible. So, that means God looks at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he says, that tree is actually good. And that's our entrance point today. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was actually good. Now, to understand this, I think we need to understand what it means to be a human being. When God created man and woman, he created them in his image, which means, amongst other things, that humans trusted God, and they loved one another. You know, I think that's a good definition for us. What does it mean to be human? It's this: faith toward God, love toward one another. I bet that's important. I bet that might show up again. We should probably say that together. Repeat after me. Say, faith toward God, love toward one another. Just in case you missed it, faith toward God, love toward one another. That's what it means to be in the image of God. That's what it means to be a human being. Well then, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a good gift because it enabled Adam and Eve to be human. You missed it. I'll say it again. So it was a good thing in the garden, in paradise, for Adam and Eve to have this tree where God gave his word and said, you shall not eat of it. Because in hearing that word and trusting him, they could be human. You miss it. We'll do it one more time. Adam and Eve are in paradise. They've got everything they want. It's good. It's glorious. They're hungry. They reach out their hand. They pick fruit. It is delightful. It is good. It is healthy. They are at perfect peace with one another. God has provided for absolutely everything. But now there's one thing, one place where God gives his word and says, this tree is here for you not to eat from. And I'm asking you to trust me on this. So that finally, in that place where they had everything, it was good for Adam and Eve to have this tree where they could trust this word of God. Good old Martin Luther has a way of saying this. I think it's really helpful. He says, you know, the garden there, and especially that grove with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's like that was the sanctuary. That's the church. Church outside. Where Pastor Adam could point to this tree, Luther says it's like the pulpit. He could point to the tree and say, God has been so good to us. Look what he's given us. And now, in response, in trust for him, this tree we're not going to eat from. I need you to understand this. See, we think of paradise chiefly as the outside things, the garden. See, here's what's most fundamental about paradise. A relationship with God, where people trust God as the one who is good and who provides everything that they need. That's paradise. That's why it was a good thing to have a tree that they were not to eat from. Well, we're not in paradise anymore, are we? Not in Eden. In fact, fast forward to the gospel lesson, and we hear that Jesus very deliberately and intentionally leads the people away from civilization out to the wilderness. They left McDonald's about a day ago. There is no Walmart. They are in a wilderness that cannot provide for them. And now they're kind of stuck. They are face to face with their own fragile nature. If they go home now, they're going to faint on the way. They can't make it. And what's so interesting is that Jesus deliberately brought them there. There was something about Jesus' ministry that caught their attention, and he was teaching them, he was giving them his word, and he brought them, they followed him kind of like the Pied Piper, out into the wilderness where they could not provide for themselves. And it seems like that's what God has done ever since paradise. In fact, when Adam and Eve first sinned, what did God do? He expelled them from the garden out into the wilderness. When God rescued Israel from Egypt, where did he take them? Where was it that he established his covenant relationship with them? Out in the wilderness. Have you noticed this? God's always bringing people out in the wilderness. And here we are, in the wilderness. The other day, Don and I and some of the kids took a walk around Hartwell Park. We were looking at the lake. Beautiful. Except we got towards the east end. Nope, west end. I'm going to figure out my directions here one of these days. West end, and this lake is stagnant. There's scum. There's all kinds of trash and debris. In fact, there was a sofa cushion there in the lake. Couldn't help but think of a poem, The Wasteland, by T.S. Eliot, where he says, "For you know only a heap of broken images where the sun beats and the dead tree gives no shelter, the cricket no relief, and the dry stone no sound of water, a wasteland. That's where we live. Sometimes it can look kind of pretty, but a wasteland. It can be a wasteland in our homes. There can be a wasteland in our work, and we wonder, what's the point? Why am I doing this? There can be a wasteland in relationships where there seems to be no life. Things are stagnant. There can be a wasteland up here. Our own mind seems to be void of anything that gives life. Instead, it's broken images. It's dry. And here's the interesting bit. When you become a Christian, it doesn't get better. It can actually sometimes get worse. God calls us, and we begin to follow him, and we find out just how sinful we are, just how bad. Once we start to see the way things are intended to be, then we really start to understand just how bad things are. And we're forced to acknowledge, I'm in trouble. I can't help myself. On my own, I'm done for. Jesus leads us out into the wilderness. But see, here's the thing. We're still with Jesus, aren't we? Out in the wilderness, notice what Jesus does. 4,000 people, they can't take care of themselves. I guess they're going to have to rely on Jesus. They're going to have to trust that he had a plan and a purpose. They're going to have to trust that when the time is right, just like a servant looks to the hand of the master, so also they look for everything that comes from the hand of God. And in 3 days, that's interesting, 3 days. In 3 days, Jesus provides. Maybe the Bible's not just talking about 4,000 people 2,000 years ago. Maybe that's a story for us. That it might be a wilderness outside, but there is a way. There might be the desert, but we still have this delight that Jesus is with us and that he will provide everything we need. We sang about it. All that is needful has been sent by God's gracious ordaining. And now, in that circumstance, we begin to trust God. We begin to be human again. Wilderness outside, and yet somehow paradise has been restored because here we now have this relationship where we got to trust God. Can I push it a little bit? Here's where God takes this. See, with Jesus, he can actually even take death itself and he can give back to us life. He enters into our wilderness and he actually gives to us the tree of life here. So remember, in God's just judgment, he barred Adam and Eve from the tree of life because if Adam and Eve, in that state of rebellion, ate from the tree of life, they would continue to live in that sin and that rebellion. They'd be breathing, but they would not be living. So God kept them from the tree of life in the garden. But then in the wilderness, in fact, on a barren hill called Golgotha, God planted a new tree. seemed kind of dead, actually, because it was a wooden cross. But on that dead wooden cross, God gave the fruit of his Son so that we might have life and have it abundantly. Suddenly, Golgotha is a garden. And in this wilderness, we find that what was most important about paradise has now been restored to us. We have a relationship with God by the gift of the Holy Spirit. We repent of our sin. We turn to God and we trust Him. And we find that we're human again. See, beloved, what we need right now is not for our circumstances to change. God promises that one day heaven and earth will be restored. But until that time, what we need right now is not for our circumstances to change. What we need, actually, is to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. In fact, this is actually what God is doing. Right now, God is calling us out of self-pity, out of fear, to a courageous joy, to do the works of love that glorify God. Now that our relationship with God has been restored, He is calling us out of self-pity and fear to a courageous joy that does the works of love that glorify God. Do you notice in the gospel lesson, Jesus is the one that does the miracle. He breaks the bread. He blesses it and breaks the bread. And then he gives it to his disciples, and the disciples, the followers of Jesus, take this gift and they give it to the multitudes. I think that's interesting. Found a quote from Emperor Julian. He's a Roman emperor about the 4th century. And he wanted to breathe new life back into this pagan religion, and these pesky Christians were really kind of a problem. So here's what he said. He said, "This Christian faith has been specially advanced through the loving service rendered to strangers and through their care for the burial of the dead. It's a scandal that there is not a single Jew who is a beggar, and that the godless Galileans," and by that he means the Christians, "there is not a Christian who go without. These godless," so he says, "these Christians care not only for their own poor, but for ours as well. While those who belong to us look in vain for the help that we should render them. I'd like to get this pagan thing going again, but these Christians keep loving people. They keep loving us. And people are looking to our religion in vain. They're getting what they need from these followers of Jesus." Bad circumstances, but a relationship with God that cannot help but be expressed in love for the neighbor. Human again. You know, people keep asking the question, what's going on with the coronavirus? What is God doing? What's the reason for the coronavirus? Well, I think it would be kind of presumptuous for me to stand here and tell you exactly why God is doing what he's doing with the coronavirus. But I think we could say this, that God in the coronavirus is giving us an opportunity to trust him, to look to him to provide for us what we need when we still have to wear the masks, or we're not sitting the way we'd like to sit. And he's giving us an opportunity to love one another. It's a wasteland, but isn't that wonderful that even in the wasteland, God enables us to be human? So that's the message today. We live in a wilderness. No one's arguing that. For now. Who knows how long you're going to have to sit 6 feet apart. But see, we can't pretend like we don't know what's going on. Now we know that if there's a wilderness, that must mean Christ is present to save us. In fact, notice what we're doing here today. In the wilderness, we take God at his word, and we gather around this altar to receive a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine. The world says this makes absolutely no sense. You guys are wasting your time. And we say, but God said. And then we pray this prayer. I think. Here it is. God, you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that through this gift, you would strengthen us through this in faith, you guessed it, toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. That's a good prayer. And that's a prayer God answers. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.